It's another episode of the Eternal Athletes podcast. We are here to empower athletes to glorify Christ with their game and pursue a life with him for eternity. We're your hosts, Ryan and Aaron. We have a really special guest here on today's episode. You guys are in for a treat here. So she is a sophomore at Syracuse University, D1 Syracuse. She's a sophomore up there, has played soccer, fell in love with soccer from a young age, but she played a lot of sports growing up as well. That morphed her into, being the great athlete that she is. What's even more impressive, though, aside from, her work on the field is her work off the field. She does lead FCA at Syracuse University, which is pretty cool as a sophomore, which just shows that it doesn't matter how old you are. What matters is your heart to serve the Lord. And she raised her hand and she's doing what she can for the Lord to serve him during FCA there. And, they have over like 100 people every Monday that come up for their meetings and everything to worship the Lord. So excited to dive into today's episode. Welcome to the podcast, Anna Croyle. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
For sure.
We're excited. So I know, Ryan mentioned in the intro there all about like soccer, D1 soccer, Syracuse, big deal. FCA, I'm sure it's huge on a big campus like that you get to lead. But I love to kind of start maybe from a little bit in the beginning, as far as I know, you got brothers that you played sports with growing up, and obviously very strong in your faith. I'm curious when it started for you that you realized that you could intertwine the two, meaning like maybe you started realizing I can pray with my team, or I can use my influence as an athlete to help spread the message or glorify Christ. I know that happens at all different ages for all different people, but if you could maybe kind of walk us through your story as a young athlete growing in your faith.
Yeah, definitely. My testimony is not one of those like drastic change ones. It's a very gradual story. But I was very fortunate enough to be raised in a family that went to church every Sunday, knew the Lord. We all went together. Like you said, I have three brothers, so that was always great. Growing up, I played a bunch of sports with them, really competitive in the driveway, in the backyard. But I wouldn't say it's till high school that I even like took further steps in my faith, as well as my sport. I would write like AO1 on my wrist every game, and I would mean it then. But now looking back, it's seeing how much like my faith has grown since then. Like, it is crazy to think like, yes, I was like playing for the Lord, but I didn't really know what that meant. So I wouldn't say it's until like probably my senior year of high school and then into college where I felt like my faith was fully my own and I had the heart posture of going out and playing for the Lord rather than for like the stats or anything like that. So yeah, later high school into college, I'd say, is when I began intertwining a little bit.
I love that. And for those who don't know, AO1, audience of one, listen, there might be some old people listening to this that so clarifying for the boomers like me, I think it's really cool because I think that's a great way for things to start, though, because you do. I mean, we're not really until we face struggles or grow, you know what I mean? That's when we start seeking the Lord more. And that doesn't happen till later in life a lot of times, especially if you have a good, stable home that you are raised in. So I think that is really cool. Just like even just having that on your wrist. And like you just said, like you might have it written on your wrist, but you are still playing for stats. And that's part of being an athlete. That's part of being a competitor. That's part of having three brothers that you want to beat all the time. You know what I mean? So that's part of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think, once you start realizing what that truly means and what matters at the end of the day, and that can come at all various times throughout our career. I am curious with your three brothers playing basketball, the driveway, good Christian family. Man, there had to be some fights, though. There had to be some words exchanged, some physical brutality going on out there. There had to be some, like...
For sure. There was definitely times where, when I was younger, I'd go inside crying because they're being mean or things like that. And they would be the first to tell you that they're the reason why I'm playing soccer now. They'll take some of the credit for it. Which I will give them, for sure.
I love that. That's good. So are your brothers, are they pretty strong in their faith playing sports as well? Is that something you guys kind of bond over together? Or?
Some of them are. A few aren't. It's interesting to see, like, the different paths that we've all taken. I do think that my parents did a really great job of like allowing us to like make our faith our own. So that's something that we still work through, but yeah, it's good overall.
Absolutely. I love that.
What do you think? So that's great. Definitely want to, you know, keep on the sports aspect, but the upbringing I think is, you know, really unique in a lot of sense too. And want to dive into, cause I think that, you know, people relate on different levels, right? You know, you mentioned you don't have that drastic, like, you know, crazy epiphany moment, right? It was more gradual. So what did that more so look like? You mentioned like church on Sundays and just kind of sprinkled it in maybe like a Wednesday night throughout the week, I guess. What did that look like? A little bit more faith growing up for you.
Yeah. So I'd say the thing that kind of helped it like skyrocket would be getting involved in Young Life in high school. So I started going to that. That was like every Monday. And then it would be like campaigners, it's called, with just like a Bible study on Sundays as well as church. And for a while, that was kind of it. I was in community with people. I was helping lead in Young Life with, you know, getting other people there. And I think looking back at that now, it's really cool because I loved our area director and he did such a good job. And he kind of helped me to like, when I was like a captain of the team on the soccer team, he was like, listen, like you have a great opportunity to like invite some of these girls into this space. And looking back, I think that has helped me a lot to be like more of in like the gospel sharing mindset, I guess, if that's the way to say it. But yeah, I would say that Young Life really helped me gain community and like kind of see that going to church and having a relationship with the Lord isn't like a set of rules and it is more like relationship minded and like having that personal relationship with him is something that I didn't really like, it didn't click in my head until I got involved in Young Life. And then once I hit college, I got involved in what's called I Am Second, if you've ever heard of that. But it's a organization for college athletes and they help you learn discipleship tools and tools of how to share the gospel. And again, that kind of really rewired my mind to like faith being like a purpose and like our purpose here is to like share the good news and share the gospel and as well as obviously having a personal relationship with the Lord. But I think it was like honestly through those organizations as well as like reading my Bible more and things like that kind of helped like reframe what like religion was in my mind.
For sure. And then so curious, because it does sound like you have that initiative, you know, taking initiative, getting plugged in, which is really admirable in a lot of ways, especially for, a high schooler, even when you were going to Young Life, like you were mentioning. Was there a particular like role model or someone that maybe prompted you to get plugged in or stay plugged in? Or did you maybe feel like it was like you just felt the calling more so, or was there someone you really looked up to and was kind of like dragging you to stuff to start?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think, first of all, it's just the Lord being faithful and like showing me that that is like the path to take. A lot of people don't have that, so I'm very grateful for that. When I think about how I got involved with the Young Life first, it was like getting invited to camp, and it was the most random thing ever. I was like friendly with some of the girls that had gone, but like not like super close. And I just got like a random text in a group chat that was like, Anna, you should come to Young Life camp. And I don't like, it was a long time ago. I don't really remember like where I was, but I was just like, okay. So like, I just like went and it didn't like take that much convincing or anything. But then once I got involved, I got really close with some of the girls who, and I guess that they really helped shape, yeah, who I was and continuing to go back. So I guess the people in there, really
helped with
that.
Positive peer pressure.
For sure. I think that's amazing. And want to dive into that for a second, because I think something as small as that individual maybe didn't think, you know, what the ripple effect could be, you know, 3 years later, 4 years later from them just shooting you a simple text. But what if they didn't? You know, a lot of times, you know, we might not think we're doing people, you know, any favors or think what's going to happen 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, or the impact it might have just sending them a simple text. Hey, come to Young Life. Hey, come to church. Hey, come to this camp. It could be over like I don't want to say selfish reasons, like I just want someone else to go with me so I don't feel as lonely, right? So and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? I think, you know, a lot of high schoolers, for example, need to stick together and kind of have that unity. But I think for deeper reasons, I think that, you know, for listeners, if you are going to any kind of camps, shoot that text out, you know, make that extra call, invite that extra person. Anna was one of those individuals, you never know the ripple effect that it can have, down the line, and, can create a lot more, FCA presidents, maybe in the future. So that part's great. So, great upbringing, getting plugged in, remaining in your faith. How would you say maybe faith changed high school to college, right? You know, you're, you know, a sophomore now, so, you know, hasn't been a crazy amount of time, you know, less than 2 years. What's the main difference you're seeing faith-wise between high school and college? Anything rocking the boat a little bit, or are you just, you know, kind of staying steady, running the race?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I was going through the recruiting process and stuff, I would say that I wish that, like, my faith played more of a factor of, like, where I was choosing to go. But I wasn't really in that mindset of, like, oh, like, my faith is, like, my everything. Like, let me choose based on that. I would say that I probably chose mainly because of soccer. But then once I got here, my faith grew more than I guess would have expected. And it was hard for a while there to be at a school like Syracuse, which is a great school. Obviously, I love it here. But it is, like, very secular. And, like, it's not it's, like, not rooted in Christianity or anything like that. And I think for a while I struggled with, like, finding my community in that, or, like, feeling like I'm, like, the weird one, you know? But I will say that, like, through that, I think the Lord has been so good and showed me how, or allowed me to see that, like, my identity is in so much more than that, or my purpose is in so much more than that. And I have such a good opportunity here to share the gospel, where if I was in high school and chose to go to, like, a Christian school, which would have been incredible as well, I might not have all those people around me who, like, need to hear the good news. So I guess, like, it is a struggle to not always be in, like, community. I do have my group here now that has been great, but I just have to reframe my mind of the opportunity that I have instead.
Yeah, that's
for sure. And that's going to be the challenge of, you know, the balancing act of, like, being in this world but not, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can't avoid, obviously, the secularism. It's going to happen, and we know it'll always be around, you know, in a fallen.
Is that a word?
Maybe. I just made it one, I guess.
We don't know what it meant. Okay.
Sure. Where was I going with that?
Sorry. Yeah. Just how that's always going to be there.
Oh, yeah. It's always going to be around in a, you know, a fallen world, right? You know, a little analogy is, like, you know, one foot's on the dock. Imagine, like, a little rowboat, right? You have one foot on the dock and one foot in the boat, and you're just kind of, like, balancing between the two, right? And, you know, the dock is Christ, the foundation, and, you know, he's, you know, the rock that keeps you steady, and the college, you know, for example, in this case, is the shaky boat, and you're trying to bridge that gap. And the whole goal is to try to make that boat a little steadier, right? And bring Christ the steadiness a little bit more to that boat. So,
I was thinking, you know, obviously, yes, we've heard that, you know, often from other collegiate athletes that are at larger D1 schools that relate to what you just said, have said kind of similar things where they came from backgrounds and they showed up on a big college campus and it was like, whoa, this is different. And, you know, where are my people and everything like that. But those people obviously, you know, have the opportunity, like you just mentioned, to make the biggest impact and to, I like talking big, like big impact, but even if it's just one person, you know, we just never know what stems from that. So I am curious, like, what would be your advice too? Because, you know, some other student athletes listening to this that maybe are high school going through a recruiting process that maybe are going to be going to larger schools than what they're accustomed to. What would you tell them as far as how does a new freshman go about finding that? Are there groups that they should look for when they get to campus? Like, how do they navigate finding their people and letting them know how, like, it's okay even if it takes a minute to find your people, but you'll find them.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great question. I think I was lucky enough here where it is such a big school that there are a lot of like organizations to get involved in. As soon as I got on campus, I got plugged into Young Life College, which was great. And I met some people through that who also helped introduce me to Salt Company on campus. And then obviously I had FCA and my I Am Second people as well. So I was really blessed to be able to be involved in so many different organizations. But the biggest thing I would say is like to really try to stay your course and stay rooted and use Jesus as your firm foundation. And ultimately, like people might have that curiosity of like, oh, why are they so different? And that might be something that draws them to you and to the faith. And so like even when like those trials come and you might feel lonely, it's easier said than done, but like encourage them to rely on the Lord, spend time in the Word. There's a lot of passages in the Bible that say how you will be persecuted or feel like an outsider for the faith. So trying to rely on those, and if as much as you can, try to find some sort of community to help you stay grounded.
Absolutely. What happens when, because, okay, when you're at a big school like this, there's lots of opportunity to do the right thing, and there's even more opportunity probably to do the wrong things, you know? So, and I'm sure, you know, being involved in campus and just being a college student, there's influences or people, you know what I mean? I remember like seeing like kids before in college that they never drank alcohol before. So like, that's like the mission of everybody's like, get them to take a drink, you know what I mean? And like trying to like pull that. So I guess obviously having community and having, you know, your own group of friends is very important, but I guess here I'm basically asking you to give advice to all freshmen in America. but you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, I don't know if you've experienced that where like maybe people were just trying to get you to do the wrong things or try to pull you in the opposite direction. And sometimes people do get pulled in that direction because we're human, and that does happen. And that doesn't mean you can't find your way back. But I'm just saying, like, what are kind of things you lean on when you feel like either tempted. Yourself or tempted? Yeah. Or you see that happening to other people.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say, and it's funny because I was talking to my roommate about this yesterday, is we were talking about like the whole going out scene. And I was like, honestly, even if I wasn't a Christian, like, I really don't think I would like it just because, like, I don't know, the environment. I was saying how, like, one of my struggles is, like, making small talk with people I don't really know. And I was like, I feel like that's all that is sometimes. So, like, personally, luckily, I don't feel like I have that, like, temptation as much as, like, some other people do. And that's a very real thing. But I will say, like, especially being a freshman, like, you want to get involved in your team or just get to know people in general. And that's, like, a really big space where you can do that. So I would go with, like, my seltzer water and just, like, talk to people, things like that, which does feel awkward. And when people, like, I also think, like, people don't really care as much as you may think if you're not drinking. Like, and that's a big thing of, like, I was like, wow, they're all going to think like I'm so weird. I'm not going to drink. But like, if I was just like, oh, no, I have this drink, thank you. Like, normally that was it. Like, you might have someone here and there that wants to pressure you more, but like, it's really not that big of a deal. And the right friends won't care as much as you think they will. And I do have other friends here on campus who are Christians and do enjoy like going out and talking to people. And to that, I would just say, like, that it's, like, more of the heart posture behind it of, like, are you going to numb this or to, like, the reason behind it is if that's to get to know people and you're not feeling convicted by that, then that's great. And then I believe that's a personal conviction. But, yeah, I feel like I'm kind of word vomiting at this point. I hope that answered the question.
I think that was a great word vomit, Anna. what I was going to say is, one, doing that will keep you from vomiting. So that's a good thing. What I was going to say, even if it's with a self, I think it's like your attitude towards it too. Like if someone comes up to you and you're just, you're already, you know, doing the right thing, like, you know, not caving or whatever, doing what you believe is right. But I think it's your attitude towards, for this example, maybe not drinking or not doing whatever. And, you know, if you just say it confidently, oh, yeah, I'm doing this, no big deal. Like, and you're just secure about it. I think people can feel a little let down and tempted even more if they're not as secure. They, you know, they care way more about what other people think. I think what you're alluding to there, and you know, the truth is they don't really think that much. And if they do, it's more of a reflection on them, and maybe even more so their insecurities of like, you know, I got to pressure you in. Anytime someone's trying to pressure you to do something, I really do think that's a lot more like insecurity on them to try to get someone else to morph so they can feel a little bit better about themselves to justify their actions and everything. So
loves company.
Yeah, exactly. So, but would just say like, stay strong, because I do think what you just hit on, is a struggle a lot of Christian athletes face on campuses all over the country. And I think it's really important for people to know they're not the only ones, right, that are trying to stay strong in their faith and everything. So there's my tangent.
I want to pick back up to – I want to go to, like, the soccer, like, team competition, that kind of stuff. So – obviously, you know, joining series, I don't know how many girls are on the soccer team, to be honest with you. I'm sure it's like enough, but coming in, joining a big team like that, obviously a D1 school for soccer, it's competitive. So the girls are competitive, and I'm sure it's a group that wants to win and is going to work hard and all of those good things. Was there anybody when you first came in that you saw, when you came in as a freshman, that maybe was kind of a mentor for you for like your faith as well, that was on the team already that kind of helped you feel confident in bringing God to soccer with you?
Yeah. There was this girl named Liesl. Shout out Liesl. She was a senior when I came in as a freshman, and she had a very strong faith as well, and kind of like helped build up the FCA here while she was here. And her and her family also go on a mission trip every summer to Guatemala. And so I kind of connected with her. Obviously, the age gap, like, plays a role, but she was still super awesome. Got close with her, and I actually went to Guatemala with them this past summer. So that was great. I think she did, like, so much of the, like, behind-the-scenes work to, like, allow Christianity to have a place here on this campus, especially with FCA. And then also just by the way she lived, she was very like welcoming and loving and just like a great example of the Lord. So that was definitely a great person to have here on campus when I first got here.
And I love what you just said at the end there too, because that is true. Like even without preaching a word at all about God, like just how she was as a human, you know what I mean? Just kind and welcoming. Like you don't have to be preaching at everybody to show the face of God. It's just in your character and who you are. So her even, you know, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk as well, is awesome that's played a part. And you want to say something about Guatemala, don't you?
How'd you know?
Ryan's been to Guatemala a few times too. And when you said that, I could feel like perk up.
I was going to ask permission to side quest for a second.
Go ahead,
here.
Yeah.
How was that? Because I went to Guatemala twice, and first just kind of want to get your thoughts and perception of like, I just came back with way more gratitude than ever about everything.
Definitely.
Kind of seeing everything down there. How did Guatemala shape your faith at all?
Yeah, no, it was an awesome experience, and I'm so grateful I got to go. But we went to the Hogar Miguel Magón orphanage. So a lot of our time was spent there, where we were with like the little kids, and we would do like a VBS, some crafts, just play with them. But then we also spent a lot of time like doing like construction and like work around the buildings. But yeah, like you said, I think it's just a huge perspective change of like, these kids are so, so happy with so little. And it really just like convicted me of like how I can be miserable sometimes, but then I look around and I got everything that I could possibly need. So the perspective change was huge. And then also the people that went with us were just super strong in their faith. Like I made friends for life, and I can just admire them too. So it was a really great experience overall.
Gosh. Yeah. You just kind of talking about that is bringing me back, and I just got chills and stuff thinking about like just the overall gratitude I remember having down there. For example, we built like schools down there. Kind of sounds maybe similar. We went to like a special needs orphanage, and was building schools and went on like community hikes with the kids and stuff. And like literally their gratitude was just crazy. So happy. I remember going on a community hike, and their houses literally were like some houses were like corn stalk huts, right? Kind of slapped with mud and corn stalks. And it's just this one room, maybe 10 by 20 foot, if at all, little house with a fire in the corner and a pot. And I remember one individual, for example, he had to be in his 70s. He was like just sweeping the dirt floor. Like he had a broom and it was a dirt hardened floor and he was just like sweeping it. And I remember him asking us questions about America, like, are there mountains in America? What are the buildings like? He was asking like all these questions. I felt so humbled to answer. I felt like such like a snob, like yeah, answering the questions, because like he was like so happy too, like he was just genuine and happy, smiling, so appreciative that we were helping, whatever. And very humbling how secure he was and happy he was. So we could talk that for a while, I'm sure. But I remember that transforming me for a while. And I remember getting back thinking like, I'm like, everyone in America needs to go to a third world country or like Guatemala or like something and do something for a week. Like I guarantee we would change people's hearts and even country overnight, and just level of gratitude for the world. Like if people like were required to go on like one mission trip a year or something like that. Right. I think that would totally change people's like egos and just, yeah. Anyways, we're getting off of sports, but wanted to talk about that because I think that's important.
Well, that is important. Mm-hmm. We're definitely, yeah, it's wild over here. I'm sure you think about it too. It's like you get to play a sport you love every day. You know what I mean? It's like we get to do that kind of stuff here.
Did you play soccer with the kids at all down there?
We did a little bit.
Okay, how did they like that?
It was awesome.
You didn't have to take
it
easy.
They were really good though. Like I was just like kind of letting them pass around me. They were awesome.
That's really cute. Yeah, they were good. I remember not being able to keep up with them at all. So that was really fun playing. So yeah, I thought that'd be cool if you got to play with them.
Well, good. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you had that influence and that senior in your life. And then, you know, you get to be that senior someday for somebody coming in on your team. And I mean, you're the sophomore and the junior now. I mean, you're president of FCA. So people look up to you. You're using your platform for amazing, you know, outreach and opportunity to spread the gospel. But I'm curious when it comes to it with, you know, we talked obviously Syracuse being a big school, very secular, not necessarily based in Christianity, but you probably do have some athletes that are in their faith. Is there anything that happens on your team specifically? Like maybe a few players, maybe you guys go to FCA together or pray before games or find ways to display your faith during your games or after or anything like that that you guys do?
Yeah, so there's a big group of us that will go to FCA, church, Salt Company, all the things. And that number has kind of like ebbed and flowed a while for while I've been here. And right now it's at like one of the highest points. So that's been incredible. As to games, we haven't had any like official games with this new team yet because we did have a big turnover this past year. But in the past, what we have done is we'll have a prayer circle before the game. Which is always awesome. And normally a good amount of people will join that, which is great. And something that we've been trying to implement, hopefully we will this coming season, is doing a prayer circle after the game, just to kind of like bring us back centered, which we haven't done yet, but I'm hoping that we will do that soon. A lot of us will write like Bible verses or something like that on our wrists. But
what's your verse that you write?
It depends. So I'll read my Bible before every game. Depending on what like book I'm in, if there's a verse that stands out to me, I'll do that. So it actually this past season really had depended on where I was. My go-to would probably be Ephesians, armor of God, probably. But I don't have a specific one that I do every single game.
I love that though, because it senses you're listening a little bit more and having that like ongoing relationship with God, and almost it's like you're communicating with him while you're playing sports and just like how you're feeling, maybe how you're feeling God's talking to you that week or that day. I think that's really cool. You're not maybe just stuck on one or whatever. It's just kind of hammering it in, which is not a bad thing by any means, but it's cool. The ebbs and flows of it kind of morph in with maybe how you feel Jesus is talking to you throughout the day or week. So that's great. And sorry to interrupt on the verse part.
You jumped right in.
I did. I was excited to hear. But I like that put on the full armor of God verse in Ephesians. So sorry to interrupt, but maybe how else? So you're mentioning like prayer circles before, perhaps after the games now, writing verses on. I don't know, anyone like, I don't know, wearing necklace or anything. I don't know if you have any special like jewelry or anything you wear during games.
And I actually just took it off because I didn't want it to rush. But my roommate and I, we do have matching cross necklaces that we wear, things like that. But like in games, we can't wear jewelry, unfortunately. So
that doesn't really happen.
But
you can tell a boy would ask that question. You know?
you see stuff here and there. Like, you see, I don't know.
Listen, I remember when I was back in my day, girls would have to, because we couldn't wear like certain things to keep the hair out of our face. That was before headbands came around, because I'm a boomer, I guess. There was a girl on my basketball team that literally had to like put tape on her hair, like tape her.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy.
Yeah, listen.
So was a good thing social media didn't.
It didn't exist, so there's no photos of it. But I know, I saw it.
That's hilarious.
That's
no
cool.
Jewelry. But...
How are you seeing the faith transform your team? Even if it's just a little bit, micro transformations, right? You and your roommate, maybe, for example. But are you seeing changes in your team, you know, from consistent prayer, perhaps before the game?
Yeah, I don't know what I would say like it officially stems from, but we have four girls on our team getting baptized on March 1st.
Hey,
so that's a huge praise. That's going to be incredible. One of the girls is a girl that she came early, like she graduated high school early and came. And so this past summer when I went to like the I Am Second Summit, and we learned about sharing the gospel and how important like consistent prayer is, she was one of the names that was like on my heart that I prayed for a long time. And like, praise the Lord, we came back and she had like the softest heart ever and was like all in, and it's been amazing. And she's one of the ones getting baptized on March 1st. But
yeah,
so that has been great. There's a lot of we had a lot of transfers and other freshmen come early this semester, and a lot of them have been like really involved in church and things, so I'm grateful for whatever past experience they had at their old school to bring them here to get like more involved and things like that. So I'm excited to see like how that's going to work in this coming season. But yeah, like there's definitely been some change. More people come into church, interested in the Bible studies we do, things like that. So that's been great.
I love that. It's just a great, I don't know. I feel like we just see more and more like high school and college students like coming to their faith like this and it being more open and growing. And it is fun to see. We've talked about it before. I mean, I know you went to FCA and everything, but when I grew up, but even in college playing sports, like we didn't do that. And I wish we did, but we all have our own journeys, I guess. But like I said, it's just, it's cool to see that I wish that I had community like that in college. You know what I mean? During my
Well, it's good. And the world's working great through a lot of organizations, like you're mentioning, like I Am Second, right? And, you know, Young Life, did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Young Life organization. Okay, yeah. So like organizations like that, I think is really.
And Salt, you mentioned a salt company.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that like a local?
Yeah. So they're not like officially part of Syracuse right now. They're working on getting to be a part of like the campus, but it's the church I go to on Sundays. Actually, they host Salt Company. It's on Thursday nights. And it's basically just like a church service, but it's all college age students in the area. So we'll have Syracuse students. Like we have the community college near here, Lemoyne, like even kids who aren't in college, but college age will come. And it's like worship music, a sermon. And it's great. And it's also awesome because he can like cater it to like our age, kind of like we just did a relationship series, which was super great.
Yeah.
Because we were really able to like apply it to our lives. So that has been a huge blessing. And then we'll do like what's called a C group or a city group outside of that. So it'll be like a Bible study discussion type thing outside of the Thursday nights.
That's
been great too.
We we just pray, the Lord can work through those organizations. And the more the merrier, right? All preaching the same thing, but just from different angles, right? So that's really cool. Let's talk struggles for a second, or a few minutes, if you're okay with that. Like, particularly with college athletes, for example, you mentioned there's four individuals getting baptized, you know, praise the Lord, that's awesome. And being the president of FCA too, maybe, you know, don't just speak on behalf of the soccer team, but what do athletes usually struggle with that you see? If they come to you, do they come to you for advice? They ask these kind of questions. I mean, what do you see in these student athletes wrestling with the most, that they might come to you for advice on?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously it's going to depend on the person, but I think a common theme could be like identity, and having their identity in other things, whether that is their sport and like the success that they're having, whether it's individually or as a team, or if they are injured and kind of like losing that aspect of their lives. I think that is a huge struggle, and I don't want to like pretend that I've lived all that because I haven't really had a super serious injury that has left me out. Praise the Lord. But I think that is probably the most common one for athletes, is like not, is like putting the identity in the sport, which is so fleeting, and you never like know what that's going to lead. It's not a firm foundation. So like that can definitely be a struggle if you don't have like a perspective that's like set on like the things above.
For sure. And you know, it's understandably so, we understand why people can get caught up in that identity crisis, because how many hours do you spend a week? Practice, meetings, class, away from dedicated silent time with the Lord, right? I mean, we're talking dozens of hours, maybe even a week, dedicated to your sport. And hey, if, especially if you're not going to church, you know, on Sundays, I mean, you're really kind of missing the boat a lot of ways with trying to keep that foundation centered on Christ and everything. So, which I think is all the more important for organizations like I Am Second and all that to come in and be like, look, you're going to be spending these dozen hours a week dedicated to your sport. Like, how do we bring Jesus to it? And I think that's a really great thing to do, and a constant ongoing battle that I think a lot of student athletes need to fight. And understand that, you know, they can totally worship Jesus while they play and dedicate these hours, even if it's towards like working on a bicycle kick. I don't know what you practice. I don't know if you do that, but
I'm sure she can.
Whatever it is. That was the first thing that came to mind. I'm like, soccer. What would you practice in soccer? Bicycle kick, you know?
There you go.
Aaron's like, shut up, Ryan.
Listen, I don't know much about soccer.
Okay. But the point I'm trying to say is like dedicating those hours to the Lord, I think, can go a long way. And not getting your identity just wrapped up in the stats or the injury and everything. So kind of, you know, preaching now at this point, but that is something we do see, you know, quite a bit. And it's an easy trap. I guess I'm just trying to say it's an easy trap to fall into because of the time. Right. So,
perfect. Yes. I do want to say this about soccer, though, because I didn't grow up playing soccer. That wasn't something, but over the last couple seasons here, I did go talk with, for FCA, to a local high school soccer team here. And it was great because I could just talk to them about like character leadership, and I don't know anything about soccer. So I'm trying to make, you know, connections and see if they hit. Some of them give me faces like, is that how that works? Like, whatever. But one thing that I was amazed by is this. I remember sitting there watching this girl practice, like kicking from the corner, like straight, like parallel to the goal, and somehow getting it to like curve in there. And I'm like, how are you doing that? How is that happening?
That's not something I can do. So she's ahead of the game for sure.
Gosh, that was, I was just mesmerized by that. Anyways, one question I do like to ask as well, it kind of ties in with struggles too, and kind of just how we, you know, portray ourselves as athletes on the field, and Christians on the field, because that's, you know, we get caught up in competition, especially at a high level like the ones you're playing at. So how do you, does you or your team, and we fall short sometimes, so if that's ever happened, be honest, that's okay. But like handling competition as far as like when the other team maybe is talking trash, taking cheap shots, like doing what they want to do to just win, and you're trying to be competitive, you want to win. You're out there. You're on a mission to win that game. How do you handle or see other teammates, or maybe how your coach kind of walks you guys through how to handle some of those situations?
Yeah, well, first thing I would say is I am terrible at trash talk, so I will never try to give it back. Like, I have not really tried because I know I would be so bad at it. But
which might be effective when... because they would be like, what?
True, it would throw them off a little bit. But when those sort of things happen, I think it's a lot, like coming from coach or other teammates, of just like, hey, play our game, like don't worry about that. And just kind of just like stay focused more so. I can't say, and maybe this is something that I should try to do next season, but I can't say I ever like share the gospel on the field. but that would be
something
interesting.
You need to say with a Bible verse.
Yeah. Like, hey, read this. Yeah. But no, I think it's more so like when you're in the game, it's just kind of like staying focused on like what we did in practice or something like that. I wish I had a better answer for that, but
no, that's okay. I think that parallels to like
life
in general, you know what I mean? On or off the court, people are going to try to put things in your ear and try to get you off course.
No, I agree. I think it's a good faith test. And like, you know, our competition in this day and age, you know, in sports, yeah, they're brothers and sisters in Christ too. So we always try to think like there's a lot of good, what we like to think anyways, a lot of good Christian athletes on the other team as well, that they have the same goals, right? So it's just, hey, we can both glorify the Lord in the same way, but as long as it doesn't cross the line of malicious intent or you know, just trying to inflict serious harm rather than just, you know, play a game that you love and everything. So love that. And then, so we got the soccer team, you know, growing in faith, which is really good to see people coming to the Lord. How are you maybe seeing then, if any, it at all, the sports teams at Syracuse or maybe the soccer team? Are you seeing that spill over into non-athletes, right? I mean, because, you know, we obviously the whole idea is to evangelize, right? But just curious if you are seeing non-athletes maybe take a notice that maybe they look up to you, you know, quite a bit. Are they taking notice and leading other people to Christ or seeing the soccer team or other athletes lead the rest of the campus towards Christ in any way or big or small?
So through, like, as you can tell, like, I spend a lot of times in different organizations. So, for example, like, Salt Company is one that, like, we walk in as athletes and it's, like, mainly just, like, the soccer team that's there. I mean, there's some from other schools as well, but, that's a lot of like just students there. And I think it's been really cool to see how like they will have their own C groups and things like that, where like they're going out and that like Salt in itself is growing. So I've been able to see it in that sense. And then I would say like for me, the really only time that I see, like, we have, like, kind of two separate campuses. It's, like, the athletic campus is over here, and then, like, classes and dorms are over here. So I am, like, pretty separated from that for the most part. But, like, when I'm in class and I have those class friends, like, there are a few that I've had conversations with, which have been good. But I think the main thing that I see is just through those organizations of, like, other students telling me about other students or things like that, which that can be something that I can totally grow into, of, like, trying to get it into that side as well.
Yeah. And I think too, what you're doing, and yeah, like I said, there's no like right or wrong answer or whatever there, but it's just good to see kind of like the ongoing consistent living out your faith. And I think is a great example of its own, right? You know, preaching the gospel at all times and only when necessary, use your words and everything. Yeah. So it's an old
That's
saying.
Good.
So, but
Ryan made that up.
He
did it.
I like it.
The guy named St. Augustine.
Yeah, back in it was like third century. So we're talking a few centuries old. But anyways, timeless principles.
Yes,
but but nonetheless, so that's obviously great. And then if you could go back to 15-year-old Anna, you know, high school, whether, you know, sophomore in high school.
What?
Nothing. I just feel like you're just throwing numbers and trying to match them to the age.
Yeah, because that's what it is, right?
I assume, 15 sounds like sophomore.
Okay, whatever. sophomore in high school, go back to, keep the age out of it. What would you tell Anna or yourself as a sophomore or a current sophomore now that like loves sports, loves everything, but maybe struggling in their faith? And I don't know if you could do anything over, but what advice would you give?
That maybe they're not the athlete they thought that they were. They're working really hard and they just haven't had their moment yet, or aren't, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe they're overcoming an injury, or maybe they set this goal as a 4-year-old that I want to be the leading scorer in high school, and they're not, right? They're working at it, but they're just not. Is that kind of what you're going at? Like,
yeah, it is. It's essentially, if you had an open mic to talk to a sophomore.
Let us give you 23 hypothetical questions.
You added in like all this.
You're right. I did add in. Go ahead. Ignore me.
But if they say this and they're thinking that.
And then they're also.
Then they're also in chess club, you know, so they have to balance chess club.
Okay, cancel me. Back to Ryan. Go ahead.
Let's just start blank slate, all right? sophomore in high school that's struggling in their faith and they're a soccer player. And knowing what you know now, what would you tell them? I think
that's a great question. I think first of all, I would kind of... Because I guess with I had just experienced, like, I would kind of, like, make sure that they understand how it's a relationship and not, like the Bible is, like, the Lord speaking to us, not a set of rules, necessarily. And just kind of, like, talk to them about how, like, gracious he is and how much that he loves them, not based on their success or anything with sports, but based on, like, their heart and who he created them to be. And just, like, kind of remind them, like, that that's not the point of life, and that there's such a greater purpose out there that's going to be more fulfilling in the long run. I don't know. That's a great question. I think, again, that's just encouraging them to stay in community and then also, like, just, like, have faith in the fact that, like, even if it's trials or anything like that on Earth, like, you will be rewarded eventually.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it totally is.
Yeah. And I think that kind of echoes what you were saying earlier in the podcast when Jesus told, you know, his followers, like, you'll be persecuted, you know, because of me, and trials will come. I think that is important for, you know, young high schoolers to know that not everything will be perfect. And it's easier to, like, tell them that rather than, like, you know, show them, but, like, you just need to be, like, honest with them and just be like, look, there's going to be a lot of not good stuff that will happen to you. Like, we don't know what it is going to be example, but you're either coming out of a storm, you're in one right now, or you're heading towards one. Right. So I know. Thanks, Aaron. But the encouraging part is, you know, eyes on Christ, right? So, you know, when Peter was walking on water, right? He was looking at Christ and had full faith in him. And, you know, the story when he takes his eyes off of Jesus and loses faith, he drops, you know. So I think that's something good we can do as, you know, Christian athletes. You know, the storms will come. Got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And easier said than done when you are in those dark moments and you're up all night, just worried, you're stressed. Maybe the recruiting process is going not what you want. You had an offer pulled, season ending injury, you name it, right? Mm-hmm. So got to keep the eyes on Christ, you know, one day at a time.
And I think, again, I would really just try to emphasize, like, how much he really loves us and just, like, how much grace there is there, because at that age, I feel like you're going to feel a lot of pressure to be perfect in different areas, but, like, it's a process, not, like, a perfect switch. Like, even if your testimony is, like, a switch like that, like, it's still going to take a while. So I think just, like, be faithful throughout the process and don't expect it to be perfect too.
Yeah, that's absolutely perfect what you said, not the process, but what you just said. So that's great. So that's about you know, the main questions that we had, we wanted to understand, like, you know, your thought, your story, your upbringing, and then also, you know, how sports plays a part in, you know, your performance and everything, and, you know, how the team works with Jesus and stuff as well. So with that, wanted to see if you had anything else that you felt called to share, big or small, to athletes, or anything at all that you feel on your heart you wanted to share.
Yeah, I think I would just like echo again of like the process being the key. And I know I literally just said that, but like just like walking with Jesus throughout it all, rather than like it being some like daunting task. I think if you walk with him, like eventually, like things, you'll start to see things come together, or you're like, if you can just pray that your heart will align with his will, like there'll be more peace in that as well.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's perfect. That's perfect. So that's absolutely great. Erin, do you have any other questions?
No, I just, before we end, I do just want to emphasize, I think it's great, like all the organizations and everything that you're a part of, and just being like an athlete, like even when you're playing in your games now, that there's young kids out there watching you, you know, that we're inspiring people, even if when we're not like maybe making it an intention that this is what we're going to go do. And so I think that's just really important. And I'm grateful that there are these collegiate athletes that are displaying their faith more so and setting kind of a better example for younger kids. So I think that's amazing. And I think too, just what we were talking about, like just talking with younger kids, is, you know, because you've been in all of these organizations, you've met a lot of athletes that all have different stories. And I don't think that happens by accident. I think you learn these stories because along life, you're going to be able to share, if not your story, someone else's, you know, or connect them to somebody that maybe is going through something similar. So that's why I think that community is so important for multiple reasons. But even in examples like that, if we can't relate to something, like I can think of 100 other athletes I know that maybe have gone through something similar and can kind of provide perspective as well. So that's all point. I was like holding back while you going, I think this is great. I'm so grateful for you, Anna. I love, even I feel like connecting with you just via like social media, to be honest with you, sometimes I don't even know how things happen or people come across in my feed, but you just get good feelings about somebody. And so I'm grateful, you know, to be able to connect with you and be able to have you on our podcast and share your story with other athletes as well. I know that you're doing that in various, like I said, various platforms and various groups. So I know we're grateful and honored that you took time to be on with us today. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure. For sure. And yeah, you got you know, some bright days ahead, and obviously the Lord's using you in some amazing ways right now, not only you know, in FCA, but also as a, you know, getting plugged into all these other groups too, and adding, you know, shining your light in all these other groups and influencing all that. And I think that shows a lot of selflessness, which is really great to see. And, you know, that servant leadership that you're, you know, you're in the weeds, you're in the trenches, you know, not for selfish reasons, but, you know, you want to, save your soul, but also help others, help others in the process as well. So, we'll just bring this in for landing with a quick prayer, if you're all right with that. So, all right, God, thank you for this amazing day, and thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity to live, love, grow, give, and serve our gifts for the greater good of this world. Please help us be all we were created to be. Help us be holy. Help us be saints. Lord Jesus, send your spirit upon Anna, and please bless her as she embarks on her soccer career with Syracuse. Please bless her. Fill her with strength. Fill her with your spirit so she can be a shining light, not only for her close people she encounters with in the dorm, but for her soccer team as well, that she may continue to spark a fire in other people, help lead them to you, and you know, and all these other organizations she's plugged into, help her spark a fire and, you know, shine her light and make that fire burn bigger and bigger, across Syracuse's campus. And we pray especially for those souls being baptized, you know, in the coming weeks here. We pray more and more people, come to be baptized, especially on the Syracuse campus, that you may be glorified and everything can be done, in your name. All right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure, Anna. All right. Well, thank you so much again for carving out some time. We know it's never easy to find time on a D1 athlete's schedule, right? The demands of everything, school, sports, workouts. So, all right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Eternal Athletes podcast. Anna Croyle here of Syracuse Soccer. All right. Have a great day, everyone.